a couple of days makes, doesn't it? Good Friday must have been a day of great sadness and despair for those followers of Jesus. In fact, a lady said to me this week, she said, coming to church on Good Friday and hearing the story then makes the whole of Easter that much deeper and more meaningful. Whereas if you just jump from Sunday to Sunday, you kind of miss the depth of what Jesus did for us on Good Friday. And what we've heard in our readings is those who witnessed what happened on Easter Sunday morning, those who bore witness to all their friends and neighbours and those around them. Has anybody here been a witness in court? Has anybody actually? Yeah, Andrew has, Peter has, Keith has, Helen has. Right, wow, lots of people. What did you have to witness to, Andrew?
An expert witness in court cases.
Right, an expert witness. So you were giving them some of your professional expertise and knowledge. Thank you. That's one kind of witness. Were any of the rest of you, did you see something and you testified to what you saw? No? You were all experts?
On the jury.
Sorry? On the jury, right, yeah. That's a different kind of presence in the court, isn't it? Yes, okay. So, yes, some witnesses will testify to their professional knowledge and experience and so on and say this is what really happens, the facts and figures and so on. Others will testify to what they've seen and heard. Perhaps it was, I don't know, a road accident or something, or somebody was attacked in the street or whatever. So you might be somebody who was standing there and who saw it, and so you might be called to bear witness, to testify, to say, this is what I saw, this is what I heard. And usually you'll be asked to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and perhaps lay your hand on a Bible or other holy book. The word in Greek for a witness, perhaps surprisingly, is martyrium. In other words, the same word we have for someone who dies for their faith, a martyr. It's the same word, witness and martyr, because when someone dies for their faith, as Christians are doing even now in other parts of the world, what they're doing is they're witnessing to the presence and the power of Jesus in their lives. And many of those who saw Jesus rise from the dead actually died for their faith. Just imagine those groups of people. For a start, the women who came to the tomb, as Joe has just read to us, Mary Magdalene, Salome, Mary, the mother of James. What was their connection? Well, they were friends of Jesus, relatives perhaps of Jesus, and they had watched him die on the cross. They'd been there at the foot of the cross. They'd seen his agony, his suffering. They'd seen him breathe his last breath. And they'd also seen the Romans check that each of the people up on the cross was dead. They'd seen the Romans take him down from the cross. And they'd seen probably Joseph and Nicodemus carry the body away and wrap it in the linen cloths and the spices and lay it in the tomb. And the women had been there watching it all. So they were good witnesses. They'd seen it all. And then, as we've heard in the reading, first thing Sunday morning, they dashed down to complete the process because it had all been a bit of a rush before the Sabbath began. They went down to finish off, if you like, the burial rituals. And what did they find? They found the stone rolled back, the tomb empty, just like Christopher's eggs there in that children's bit. And they found instead a young man in white sitting there, an angel. I think they must have known that it was a messenger from God because they were alarmed. And the first thing that the angel said was, "Don't be alarmed." Do you know they almost always say that? When you read about angels in the Bible or when you read about God appearing to people, the first thing that's said is, "Don't be afraid, don't worry, don't be alarmed, don't be frightened." Because that is our natural reaction, isn't it? And then the women They heard the good news, and they were told to go and tell the disciples and Peter. Make sure you tell Peter. And then they ran away and went to the disciples. How was their life changed? Well, from that moment on, they knew that he was alive, didn't they? Initially, they were alarmed and afraid. But once they grasped it, they knew that he was alive forever and always with us from that moment on. And they were told to go and tell Peter especially. Peter, you remember, was Simon originally, and then when he came to know Jesus, Jesus gave him a new name, Petros, the rock, or in Aramaic, Cephas, the rock, the one who can be relied on and leaned on. One of Jesus' closest followers. He'd seen Jesus feed the 5,000. He'd seen Jesus walk across the Sea of Galilee and even said to him, "Come on, Peter, you do it too." Imagine that, just stepping out of the boat and walking on the waves. That must have been something very strange, mustn't it? So Peter believed in Jesus. And how must he have felt on Good Friday when he saw Jesus not only betrayed, not only did he deny Jesus three times, but Jesus dying on the cross? And so when Jesus comes alive again, when he rises from the dead, Peter's life must have been changed forever, mustn't it? So that on the first day of Pentecost, he stands up as a changed man and preaching the good news to all and sundry. Jesus had forgiven him. Do you remember on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, forgiven Peter for letting him down and recommissioned him to lead the disciples, the church. In the first reading, Paul mentions all sorts of other people who also saw the risen Jesus. James, for example, the half-brother of Jesus. The 12, the other apostles, and indeed more than 500 other people saw him at one time. So it was a remarkable event, wasn't it? And even Paul himself witnesses to it. He says, "I met the risen Christ on that Damascus road." Do you remember when he fell off his horse, bright light and a voice? And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Kind of gives it away, doesn't it, that he knew who it was. And the answer comes back, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And he might well have said, "Hang on, I'm not persecuting you. I'm having a go at these Christians." No, if you persecute the church, you persecute Jesus, because the church is his body. So Saul, the high-born Jew, well-educated, zealous for God, persecuting these heretics as he saw them, changed completely when he met Jesus and had a new name, Paul, and devoted his life to proclaiming the good news of Jesus. "I am the least of the apostles," he said. "I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed." So all these people, and indeed loads of others, met the risen Jesus and could witness to what they saw and heard. They were convinced that he was alive. They knew it. And they told everybody. None of them was expecting it, even though Jesus told them in advance. It was a surprise. You can tell that from the way they react and respond. And indeed, the church today is full of people who know the risen Jesus. Perhaps we haven't touched him physically, but we too can testify that he's alive. When I first became a Christian in my late teens, a long time ago, I can remember the big thing that made a difference was knowing that I would never be alone again. When I was a child, I hated the dark. I didn't like to be alone. I was an only child. It was actually a big issue. And then I discovered that he's alive and that he'll be with me wherever I am, however dark it is, however lonely it is. He's always there. I'm never alone again. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know on Easter Sunday, that he's alive and he's with us from this point into eternity, forever?